Grace be yours and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn and follow along with our text for this evening. Turn to the book of Job, and we read in the 37th chapter, verses 14 to 16. And these words of our text were spoken by one of Job's friends, a man named Elihu, who had taken his opportunity to speak for the Lord and to represent the Lord in his argument with Job. And we notice this evening as Elihu draws Job's attention to the wonder of God's power. We read chapter 37, beginning at verse 14. Elihu said, "Listen to this, Job. Stop and consider God's wonders. Do you know how God controls the clouds and makes his lightning flash? Do you know how the clouds hang poised? Those wonders of him who is perfect in knowledge." This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. Job was an outdoorsman, as were most people who lived in the time of the patriarchs, if that's the time when Job lived. We don't know exactly. Fishermen, farmers, and shepherds were used to being out in the elements. These men and some women were familiar with clouds and lightning, with rain and with heat. The laws of nature pretty much determined everything they did and when they did it. Believers like Job looked beyond the laws of nature. Job recognized that the laws of nature are but tools in the hand of the Almighty God, that God uses these tools to accomplish his purposes. I suspect that the title, words of our sermon hymn this evening, "How Great Thou Art," passed through Job's lips more than once when he was out taking care of his flocks and his herds. Job knew that his all-powerful God was behind the wonders that he saw in his daily life. Job also realized that the same God who manifested the wonder of his power was also his God who would manifest the wonder of sending his Savior into the world. This is the same Job who confessed that he knew that his Redeemer lives, that he knew God would one day send the Savior, and that Savior would rise again from the dead, and that he, Job, after worms had destroyed his body, yet in his flesh, he would see God. Job closely tied the wonders of God's power with the wonder of the coming Savior. And that's my intention with our sermon this evening and all of our midweek Advent services. You know those cards that you open them up and in the middle something pops out from the flat cards? Well, in these special Advent seasons or in Advent services, I want you to think about that wonder of the coming Savior popping out of the wonders of God's power tonight. Next week, we're going to talk about the coming Savior popping out of the wonder of God's promises. And on the last week, seeing Jesus come as he comes from the wonder of God's judgment. But this evening, we want to think of the coming Christ coming out from the wonder of God's power. We'll see, first of all, that he does all things under his perfect control, and he does all things in his perfect knowledge. You and I confess with the psalm writer in Psalm 121, verse 2, a psalm we sang this evening, "My help comes from the Maker of heaven and earth." We acknowledge that our Maker, who created all things, is also our Lord, who sent us our Savior. An article in last Sunday's Star, maybe you saw it, was an article about American artists during the period of the American Civil War. And it talked about how some of those artists used paintings of nature, landscapes, and weather to depict the agonies and the grim, harsh realities of war, to end anybody's romantic ideas about that terrible conflict. What God did for Job was similar in that He uses nature, He uses the weather, He uses what Job knew about His power to paint for Job that reality of the promise of that coming Savior, whose birth we are preparing to celebrate when the child comes in Bethlehem. The Holy Spirit documents very well Job's issues with God at this time of his life. And most, if not all of us, are familiar with those. But Job's friend, Elihu, came to Job and he said to Job, now listen to this. And then he said, "Stop and consider God's wonders. Think about creation, Job. Think about the weather and the power that you see outside when you're working out in nature. Think of God's wonders that He shows you all the time in the clouds and in the rain, in the earth that declares His glory." When Job thought about those, he would have to, as we talked about a while ago, just put his hand over his mouth and be quiet about questioning his God. He would have to keep silent in his awe at the wonder of God's power that was such an integral part of his daily existence. Job would have to put his hand over his mouth and keep silent because he would have had to answer Elihu's questions. "No, I don't know how God controls the clouds. I have no idea how God makes the lightning flash, how the clouds hang poised, the wonders of Him." Job didn't know how God could do all of those things. And yet, he looked beyond his ignorance and in his faith saw the wonders of God's power that He has as the Maker of heaven and earth. At Christmas, you and I plan to gather together to celebrate the birth of God's eternal Son into the flesh. On Christmas Eve, we hope to gather together and to consider not only the birth of Jesus, but under the theme, the wonder of it all, the births of some other babies who played an important part in the promise of that salvation. We'll hear about Moses, and about Isaac, and about Samuel, and John the Baptist. Now, their births certainly were not a wonder or a miracle in the same sense that Jesus' virgin birth is. But they are wonders of God's power nonetheless, aren't they? Because didn't God in His power override what appeared to be human hindrances like age or human difficulties and adverse conditions? How God had these children be born and grow up and serve in their way to bring about in preparation that fulfilling of God's promise. God made those things happen by the wonder of His power so that we could celebrate the wonder of our Savior's birth. When you were a child, maybe you even do it now when nobody's around and looking, lie on your back in the middle of a field somewhere on a warm summer's day, just looking up into the sky at the clouds. And I would guess you don't think, well, there's a bunch of water vapor up there forming itself together, and you know maybe it's going to do this or that. Don't we think what wonder of God's power that those clouds would hang there poised? Did you ever, and do you ever still stand on your front porch or maybe peek around the curtains in your bedroom in a thunder and lightning storm and look at those flashes of lightning? I've never lived a place in my life where so many houses and buildings are struck by lightning as there seems to be here in this area. But again, don't we think of the wonder of God's power that those kinds of things can happen? And so you and I also stand in awe, and we stand in wonder that by the power of God, He sent His eternal Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. We stand in awe of God doing that wonderful thing for us, and also as the power and wonder of God raises His dead Son from the grave, giving Him new life and returning Him to heaven to live and rule over the universe. God's power in the universe and God's power of His forgiveness and our salvation should humble us before God. Humility before God is our preparation for His coming. That is repentance. It is that humility that Mary had when she told Gabriel, "May it be to me as the Lord has said, nothing is impossible with God." Or as we heard the Apostle Paul say about God becoming a human being in the flesh to perfectly keep the law for me and then die on the cross as my Savior. We confess with Elihu, who says just a little bit after our text to Job, "The Almighty is beyond our reach and exalted in power." But the wonder of God's power does not exist only in the sense that everything is done under His control. Everything is also done in His perfect knowledge. There's a big difference, isn't there, between somebody being in control and somebody being in control who knows what they're doing. Control and wisdom are not the same thing. Control and knowledge need to be combined. And they are combined in the wonder of our God's power. He doesn't only control things, but He controls them in perfect knowledge. And the word perfect means complete, sound, and unimpaired. And knowledge really has the idea here also of wisdom, of good sense, of not only knowing what to do, but knowing how to do it, and knowing when to do it. Think of what God said when He looked at His creation and He said, it is very good. In Hebrew, that means perfect. It means complete, sound, and unimpaired. We know God's wisdom and knowledge as His omniscience, that He knows everything, and that His knowledge also works to bring about His purposes as His wisdom carries out God's plan. You and I live our lives and prepare for the coming of Christ in the wonder of God's power, knowing that He does everything well, just at the right time. It was very good. That passage we talked about from Galatians 4, when Paul says He sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Remember the part I didn't mention earlier? When the time had fully come. When God knew it was just the right time, He sent His Son, who would be born in Bethlehem. And think of God's knowledge and wisdom in that. The Old Testament said, the prophet Malachi said, or rather the prophet Micah said, that the Savior was going to be born in Bethlehem. And so God's omniscience knew that. God's wisdom brought that about to fulfill the Scripture. And so Mary and Joseph, through that taxation of a Roman emperor, brought the young couple to the city of bread. The wonder of God's power comes in the timing of His plans. Again, as we look at those, as we plan to look at those, the births of those little babies, as we plan to look at that on Christmas Eve, we'll see and notice God's plan in Moses and in Isaac and in Samuel and John the Baptist and then Jesus. How it all fit together in God's perfect wisdom and knowledge. How they would carry out that plan that God had appointed for them. God chose in His wisdom to use sinful human beings to bring about the fulfillment of the coming of the Savior and to share that good news with others. And He still does that through us. The wonder of God's power. We see it in nature. We see His control. And we see His perfect knowledge and wisdom. God, in the wonder of His power, sent our Savior, Jesus Christ. Everything is under His control. And will always be under His control. Jesus is the wisdom of God to save us who cannot save ourselves. And so with Job, we look beyond and open up that wonder of His power, and up pops the wonder of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And like Job, how often those words pass through our lips, O Lord, my God, how great Thou art. Amen.